Michigan Liberation is a statewide network of people and organizations organizing to end the criminalization of Black families and communities of color in Michigan. We envision a state without mass incarceration, mass policing, and punishment. We envision a state with the best public education in the nation, single-payer health care, and thriving Black and brown communities. Here on the Respect the Rules podcast, we will lift up the stories and experiences of those impacted by mass incarceration, collective ties to the criminal legal system, and the frontline efforts to end mass incarceration.
Hey, everybody, it's Ms. Marjan. Welcome back to another episode of Respect the Roots, Michigan Liberation's podcast. And I have with me today none other than, I'm telling you, I'm so excited. I did my own little title block for her, Ms. Sheena Mead. Yes, she's the CEO of the Clean Slate Initiative. What's up, Sheena? How you doing?
Ms. Marjan, how you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm glad to be alive, man. I am glad to be alive. Let me tell you something, y'all. I usually start off and kind of keep it, you know, to the point and read the bios. But let me tell you, it is such an honor to have Sheena on here. I feel like she's my sister friend from another mother, bro. Hey, you name it. And I'm telling you, and I'm just honored for her to be on this podcast episode today. We just going to kick it because that's what we do in Michigan Liberation. And Sheena, you already an honorary member already, okay?
Okay, listen, I've been rocking and seeing y'all from afar for a while now. I know the good work that y'all been doing, Liberation. So I'm excited to be here, just as excited as you is to have me. I'm excited to be here, excited about this podcast, like getting a good word out.
Yes. And everybody who knows been rocking with us since season one, we did this so we can, guess what, uplift our voice and let us tell our truth. So today, I'm telling you, Sheena is a man. Let me just run off some of her accolades and everything. First of all, she helped to founded the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition, what we call FRRC. And man, she's done so much. She sits on boards. I mean, oh my goodness. Another thing that Sheena, I don't know if you remember the PSA with John Legend. A lot of you know we posted that. We were in that as well, Sheena. And it was because she came to Lansing, Michigan. She is involved in so many different things. She's a mom. She's a survivor of domestic violence and everything. Her amazing husband, Desmond, he's involved in, he's an activist as well as a lawyer involved in this race and everything like that. But she is currently the CEO of SCI, Clean Slate Initiative. Thank you so much, Sheena. I mean, we'll post your bio and everything, but I want to leave all this space for you to, first of all, tell your story.
Yes, it's CSI, yes. Clean Slate Initiative.
Yes.
CSI. Clean,
CSI, I'm sorry, CSI, yes, like the show, huh?
Like the show, right? But we got a better show going on around here. We actually helping people. Obviously.
And please, Sheena, tell everybody what you go. I mean, first tell your story and then go into telling us what is Clean Slate Initiative. A lot of people don't have no clue. They don't have no clue.
Well, one, again, I thank you for having me on. Thank you for creating a space for me to just, you know, tell my truth and just be myself and just be Sheena. But, you know, my story is not a unique story. It's a story that many people across the country, over 100 million people actually share. I'm someone who has a conviction, an arrest on my record. And, you know, back in the early 2000s when I was a single mom, I was, you know, living on Section 8. I was working paycheck to paycheck, just trying to make it happen and live, you know, raising at that time four children as a single mom. And this was actually right after two hurricanes that hit Florida. So I was definitely trying to get back on my feet.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know. I tell folks, like, if you know this type of broke, when you got to either you got gas in a car, but you don't got insurance. Right. Or you got insurance, but you don't got gas. And I was like that type of broke. And so this particular time, I needed to get groceries for my children and I needed to get some gas to be able to get my children to daycare and to school and also get to work. So I went to a grocery store and, you know, back in those days, we used to write checks. We didn't have Apple Pay and Cash App. I wrote a check at the grocery store. I wrote it over the amount of the groceries so I could get some cash back. And eventually that check had bounced and I wasn't able to pay the check back at that time. And then the check got returned. Now, I was lacking a lot of financial literacy at that time. I didn't know what it meant for a check to get returned. I didn't know it was a criminal offense. And about 2 months later, I had two cops knock on my door. And my kids was like, Mom, the police are here. I'm not knowing why they're coming to my door. They ain't coming for me because I didn't do anything.
Right.
And let me know that I had a warrant for a worthless check. Wow. And that day I got arrested in front of my children for a returned worthless check for $87.26. And I went to jail. That's my first time being involved in the criminal justice system or the legal system. I went to jail and, you know, I paid my fee. I got out. And I thought, you know, once I paid the fees back, plus the other fees that I got for just getting arrested, plus taking time off work to go to court just to like plead my case. I thought this was all over.
You was good. You thought you was done.
We is Gucci. Y'all got y'all money?
Right. Come on y'all. To the next thing.
And actually for a while, I thought everything was good. But it wasn't until I started to try to do things that I was used to doing that I realized my real sentence had started. As, for example, trying to volunteer my child's school. Some years later, I'm registering like on their website. You got to register to be a chaperone. And I was met with the question, have you ever been arrested?
Mm.
I hesitated. I was like, let me check the box. Like, I don't want to lie. Let me check the box. Check right. The box. Then a whole lot of other questions started coming like in red and bold and asterisks.
And auto-populating.
Auto-populating a whole bunch of stuff. And then it gives you a disclaimer about it. It had to be reviewed. And I just remember saying, I'm not about to go through all this. To go to SeaWorld, like, I'm not doing all this. And so that was the first time. And then when I decided that I wanted to further my education after going to state college, I wanted to go to a university. And I was met with that question again. And again, I had to check the box. Not only did I have to check the box, but then they sent me on a goose chase, a hunt, to find the paperwork to talk about was my case, how my case was closed or open, and what was the arrest report. And it was very traumatizing reliving that. Like, cause I actually, to be honest, I had forgot about like those moments. Like I got over it. Like I gave y'all what I needed. Like we're over it. And this is years later. And so I tell people that my true sentence didn't start till afterwards. Even up to like less than like 3 or 4 years ago, I was trying to get a rental place and me and my husband kept getting denied. And finally it came to me, you know, at this point, I feel like, you know, we've got to a place that we got resources, you know, we worked on our credit, we got the income to be able to live where we want to live, and realized that that record, even though on applications it says if you have not been arrested or had a conviction in over 7 years,
right,
you're good. Well, actually, not all the time. And so the computer was making a decision about my destiny, or thought it was. And so, you know, during that time, I came upon this great work that was happening across the country, or started in Pennsylvania with the Clean Slate Initiative.
Right.
And realized that this is part of my story, that I need a clean slate. Like, people like me want a clean slate. They don't want their record being a barrier to them getting housing, to education, or to even to get a job. And so, you know, the Clean Slate Initiative, where I work, is a national bipartisan, meaning that we work with people from all political spectrums, mm-hmm. organization focusing on automating the record clearance process. Now, let me just walk you through kind of this high level, what it means when people want to get record clearance. So I just talked to you about the barriers that people face when they have a record. And the way we're able to remove that barrier to get access to jobs, to housing, is that people should not meet my record before they meet me.
Right.
And so the thing is it's with technology, people go through background checks, and we have stats on even like, you know, how many people, like 94% of landlords, 94% of employers use background checks when hiring. 90% right. of landlords use background checks on tenants, prospective tenants, and 72% of colleges and universities use background checks on students. So that means when you're trying to achieve all these different things, your record is meeting the entity, the landlord, the job, or the employer, right. know you. And so a person typically in states across the country, there is a mechanism to get your record cleared. You have to use the petition. A petition means you have to go down to the clerk's office, file paperwork. After you've been crime free for probably 5 to 7 years, some places 10 to 12 years, you have to pay a fee for the application. You have to sometimes go before a magistrate or maybe a judge have to still sign off. And mind you, this is after you have been crime free for a period of time. You have to petition. Then the paperwork goes through the court or whomever, and you have to wait for them to come back and say, okay, you may be eligible. Well, we're trying to cut all that red tape, and we are cutting that red tape. At the Clean Slate Initiative, we focus on expanding who's eligible and also automating that process. So once you have been crime-free for the state mandate time, and if your offense is eligible, automatically your record gets cleared. That means the burden is no longer on you. You are not running around the state filing a whole bunch of paperwork. That after that time comes up, that your record will be automatically clear. The way that's easily for me to explain to somebody in layman terms is the last thing I say about that. It's like, think about your credit report. We've all been there when we waited that 7 years for that thing to come off, right? We be looking at
speak that. Truth, Sheena, speak it.
I still got something I'm waiting. Next year is my 7 year. I can't wait. And then I'll be real good. And that is when we know that the government, the law says that it's the law. At 7 years, that you should not no longer have to be beholden to this debt.
Right.
This is the same thing how the Clean Slate Initiatives look at it. Like, we have showed ourselves to be rehabilitated. We have remained crime free. This has not, like, I've served my time, paid my debt. Why is this record still holding me back? And at the Clean Slate Initiative, we are proud to say that in over 12 states, we have states that have passed Clean Slate policies automatically clearing people records who are eligible. And right now, let me just tell you, that number is over 15 million people in America are eligible for full or partial record clearance in those 12 states that have passed legislation. 15 million.
Wow, if you just tuned in, we are kicking it with Ms. Sheena Mead. Yes, she's the CEO of CSI. I got that right, didn't I? I made sure I got that right, this Clean Slate Initiative. And we're so honored to have her because let me tell you something. We know those closest to the problem are closest to the solution.
And so, when they got resources too. So we're doing the damn thing and we're making sure that it's happening across the country.
Right. And she just finished telling us her story, but also what is the Clean Slate Initiative? And now Sheena, I'm gonna put you on spot because I know I can do this. Can you help people understand when you say clean slate, is that just for people who coming out of jail or does that apply to people coming out of prison? Both?
That's such a great question. I'm so happy you actually lifted that up because so many times when people think about the work that we do at Clean Slate Initiative, but when people think about the work that all of us may do in the reform community, they put a very lens focus on people who have been incarcerated. And let me tell you, there's over 114 million people who have some type of arrest or conviction.
Right.
And what I want folks to realize is that even if folks who have not serve time, meaning have been incarcerated or have been to jail, but yet have a record or an arrest, are still facing some of the same barriers that folks are facing who have been formerly incarcerated, right? They are facing the same barriers of access to occupational licensing and certification. And we know there are over 44,000 different collateral consequences for people who have arrests or a conviction. And so, no, I'm not just talking about people who's been incarcerated. I'm talking about people who have been arrested, who cases have actually been dropped, or cases have been dismissed. There are some states, like the state of Florida where I live in, where it is hard for even people who have had their cases dropped or dismissed to get it off their record, that they still have it serving as a barrier.
Right. Cool. I'm glad you clarified that because that's something we get asked. And the worst thing, I think the worst feeling, Sheena, you know, we here in Michigan, we did a lot of expungement fairs last year. And then, you know, we was very fortunate in April, you was here in Michigan, you know, to see that automatic expungement take place and see some people really, it wasn't just talk. We saw how it benefited some people that we've been working with. And I think now that leads me into one to ask you lessons learned. Because now we've been doing the manual. Now we've into the automatic in some states, I know. What are some of the lessons learned that you've experienced or seen through this whole process, this Clean Slate Initiative process? You know what I mean?
Well, I appreciate you asking about the lessons learned, because we don't get better unless we learn from our lessons and try to apply the new, right? You do better when you know better. That's what my mom and grandma always said. So one thing that we know that is important in lessons learned is that having directly impacted people at the center of the conversation, and not just showing up to talk to lawmakers, but also a part of drafting the policy, having an input, because again, like you said, they're closest to the pain, so they're closest to the solution. So making sure that we're centering and engaging directly impacted people. It's important to have bipartisan support, not to politicize this issue to one party to another. And what I like to tell people is you cannot politicize my pain. I will talk to anybody who is willing to give the relief for our people to be able to have a clean slate, right? Yes. And so we have to talk to people across the aisle. We have to make sure that people are talking to one another. And when you have 1 in 3 people who are impacted by a criminal record or having a conviction or arrest, that means that everybody's impacted, whether Democrat or Republican. And so that's an important lesson, is that we got to make sure we have bipartisan support. No matter if we're trying to pass this in a red state, we need to make sure that Democrats are on board, whether passing in a blue state like Michigan, making sure that we have Republicans on board. And we saw that in your state of Michigan. We had some real, like in a blue state where the governor is Democrat, we had some great champions on the Republican side. And that's what made it good policy, right? Everybody could get behind it. And how we pass laws. We want to make sure that we're building strong support, that this is more of a movement than just dropping laws and passing policy under the dome. When I say under the dome, meaning there's a lot of times where you see legislation that is moving in the state house, and the people who are impacted, like you and I, don't know that the legislation is happening. This is the people's movement. So those are some lessons learned, and then implementation, right? Now that we have several states implement Clean Slate, we're learning like what it means for them, how people need to check their records. And so we're trying to apply these lessons, and we're taking a lot of these lessons learned out of Michigan Playbook.
That's what's up, Sheena. That's it, man. You want it. My girl is bad, y'all. Give it up for Sheena. Let me tell you something. I told Sheena this ain't going to be no regular. We don't call it an interview. It's a discussion, because during the discussion, things going to pop up. Like I asked you about being in jail versus prison. Right. And can you explain to people who are listening and watching, Sheena, when you say bipartisan, break that down even. Because you got some people, I don't want nobody to leave this interview wondering like, what does Sheena mean by bipartisan?
Yeah, like I said. Google that. Right. So when I talk about bipartisanship, I am talking about people who are a part of a broad political spectrum, meaning we're not only having Democrats or just Republicans or just independents or non-party affiliation champion our legislation. That means we are talking to Democrats, Republicans, independents, non-party affiliation. We are talking to everybody about this, and bipartisan support, meaning that when we are trying to move our legislation, which is our bill, Clean Slate Laws in a state, we don't just want one party taking this up and waving a flag and running. This legislation won't mean anything unless we have full support, but bipartisan support, meaning both people coming from across the aisles, both major parties mostly, that are championing this issue. We've seen it at the state level, and we've seen it at the federal level. Again, because we may talk about the issue a little bit differently and from different parties and how we message, but the issue is the same. It's people over politics, and we're trying to make sure that people have a second chance at being able to get access to housing, jobs, and education. And also, it's good for our economy. And we know that if we want our communities to be safe, right? This is a great public safety measure, putting people to work, giving people housing, getting people education, getting people something to like look forward to.
And see, Sheena, you're already on it. Sheena's already, I want to talk about the impact, Clean Slate impact, like what it all means. Like you just hit on it. You talked about earlier, like the stats of employment, housing, you know, schooling. What other kind of positive impact? Because you have people, let's be real for a minute. Okay, I'm about to take off this girl. If I take it off, you're gonna holler. But she, For real, the impact, I've seen it. Because you know how we talk a lot, and this is whether you're Democrat or Republican, whatever, but we've seen how a positive, a clean slate, the impact. And I want you to kind of talk about it, because you got people who like, man, I ain't going to do all that doggone paperwork. That's bull. I ain't going to do it. I'm 70 years old. What do I need with a clean slate?
Well, let me first say, with the Clean Slate Initiative, you don't need the paperwork. We done cut that part out.
Come on.
We put the burden back on the government, right?
Right.
To do their job. And so I will encourage folks, if you are in a state, one of the 12 states, and you can go to cleanslateinitiative.org to go see what states that we're in, it could direct you to our partners. If there's a website where we already started implementation, I really encourage folks to see if you are eligible for a clean slate. You may already have a clean slate. There are people probably, I've ran up on people in Pennsylvania, my home state, who didn't realize that the records were clear. You know, it takes time sometimes getting that word out because so many people are impacted. And the same thing could be happening in Michigan. But let me tell you, you're going to have more likelihood of getting a call back for a job with a clean slate. Right.
Yeah.
Access to housing. And let's just talk about how it make you feel. Like, you're not walking around with that stigma of rejection and like that folks ain't gonna give me a chance. Like, I like to talk about the emotional and mental impact that this could have on you. I could tell you when, and I don't have a clean slate yet, right? But I'm gonna keep fighting for everybody else until I get my clean slate. But I know how it felt for myself, for my husband, when we would come home after looking at a home, at a house with our kids, had packed all the boxes up, and for us to have to come home and finally say, you know, just unpack the boxes. Because we don't know when we're going to be able to go into a house, because we realized it was our past records that was holding us back. And so that mental and emotional toll that could take. And I would tell you, you know, I tell people, my husband, his story has been much more public and out there before my story. And I remember when we was looking for a home, and he's never shied away from telling his story, his truth. This is the first time I saw him actually like sink as a man and was nervous, thinking it was his record that was holding us back from getting a house. So, you know, but there are benefits. And the biggest benefit is also for our economy, right?
Right.
There's an estimated loss in gross domestic product every year result from shutting people out with records. Out of the workforce, it's like up to $87 billion.
Yeah, saw that.
That could be put back into our community, into our economy. Think about our schools. When we think about tax base, our schools, our communities, you know, our public safety. And so there's a bigger benefit than self, but for our whole community.
Wow, Sheena. Man, you're going to have me crying up in here. But anyway, we got about like 7 more minutes. And I want to spend this time, Sheena, because you know what? Everybody's on board. We on deck. And I think this is the million-dollar question. What's the call to action? What are you asking people to do now? Whether, because you just hit it on the nail. You got people who have records that are not expungible, or they're in the process of getting expunged manually, or like I said, they've experienced through, I mean, they've had a positive experience with the automatic expungement. Yeah. And then you have people, let's just be real and raw, who never had a record, but they want to help. You know what I'm saying? What is the call to action? What do we want people to leave when they finish listening, leave with when they finish listening to this podcast? I'm speaking in tongue, but this podcast, Sheena.
In a heavenly language. Somebody understands it. Well, I would say one thing. Because I know your podcast is going to reach people who are impacted and non-impacted. And maybe there's someone who's listening who a family member is impacted. The one thing I want people to leave with is knowing that we've all have asked for a second chance.
Right.
We've all have wanted a moment of redemption or forgiveness or doing it again, whether it was from our parents, our children, our teacher, our community, or our friends.
Right.
So just lead with that. Ground yourself with that. Another thing I would say is for folks who are in the movement, who are doing this work tirelessly, not to get discouraged. Look at this as, you know, this is a move forward, right? It is a great feeling. I just left New York 2 weeks ago.
I saw that. Yes. They just, and I saw Miss Lala.
Yeah, you saw Lala. Shout out to Lala for shouting us out. Yes. She was there. And I, you know, think about my brother Zaki, who was Zaki, who's been an advocate for a long time in New York. And he won't benefit from the clean slate law. But the brother's been in the trenches, right?
Yeah.
His defense won't be eligible. But yeah, he continued to push on because he knew if it could happen for the other 2.3 million people, he knows soon it'd be able to happen for him. And that day when the governor gave us the pen, she was very adamant about giving us the pen because she signs every letter of her name on the bill with one letter per pen or something like that. And so I was putting the pen up and I was kind of joking with Zaki about, I was like, she was happy to give us this pen, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, Sheena, it was with the stroke of a pen that we was put into slavery. And
girl,
don't take it for granted. And I thought about it. With a stroke of a pen, she was able to unlock opportunities for 2.3 million people.
That's deep.
Right? And so I just want people to know that, like, our voices are important. It may not come today. It may not come tomorrow, but continue to push forward, fight on. Even small progress is progress. And it took them 3 years to get there.
Right.
And we're not going to stop until we could get all 50 states on a pathway that we could give relief for the millions of folks who are waiting for a clean slate. So my call to action is find your place in this movement. And it don't have to be always on the front lines. It could be amplifying on social media if that's your thing, where you feel safe and you feel good. Amplify on social media. If it's writing letters to your members of Congress, to your state legislators, to your state senators, is it mobilizing listening sessions or mobilizing fears, expungement fears until those people could get to automatic? So I would encourage people to keep moving on. And for the people who are not eligible for the automatic record clearance, I would encourage you to find maybe an accountability partner or someone to support you through the process of filling out the paperwork so you don't get overwhelmed in it and knowing that a clean slate can make a difference in your life.
Sheena, come on. You know what? Where's the collection plate? And I'm going to tell you, y'all go onto the website right there, cleanslateinitiative.org. Like you said, closed mouth don't get fed. A lot of people are like, I just want to help. That's how you get started. If you don't, like, there's other states. Sheena, do you know what states y'all going after next? Or is there any, can you
say? We have a pipeline. Well, this is a beautiful thing. All, you know, we are looking in the next 6 years to work with people in just about all 50 states. We are in a set of states right now, a lot to list. Folks can go onto our website, again, and connect with our teams. If there's some, if you're in a state where you want to know more, get more information about, the way the Clean Slate Initiative works, we're a national organization. We do not do direct services, so I just want folks to know that, or legal services. We don't have lawyers. But we work through state partners like Michigan Liberation and other folks who are doing the work on the ground. And we could connect you to a partner on the ground in one of those states. But we have a lot of states that we're working in right now.
Right. So you guys make sure you go ahead and go onto the website, Clean Slate Initiative and everything. Also follow us, Michigan Liberation. You know, yeah, you see the handle, but also we're at myliberation.org. Sheena, thank you so much. I mean, perfect timing. We right at time. We ain't even got to stall. We ain't got to be like, oh, I'm sorry, I got to edit it out. Because that's what I love about the realness about you, my sister. I mean, I ain't trying to preach, but let me tell you, you called to do it. You are anointed to do this. I don't know if nobody's told you that, because I'm like you. It's amazing how when God will just, you'll fall into something and you'll be like, I never would have imagined
that. You know, I would say, so let me tell you this. I know it's a call. I call it kingdom work, right? And so
yes,
it is not necessarily in the four walls, but this is, I feel like God has allowed to give me the strength to be able to tell my story, to use my story to help the greater goods. And you know, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to continue to move forward until I'm able to have a clean slate. And keep pushing for everybody else. But it is something I never imagined I'd be able to have this type of impact. And I'm excited to be a part of history. And I'm excited about the people who want to join us in being on the right side of history, because history is being written right now about the Clean Slate Initiative.
I know that's right. Thank you again, Sheena. Hey, this is only the beginning. I know you've been working with us, but I was so glad when you accepted the invitation to be on the podcast, because guess what? 30 minutes of good content, knowledge. Yeah. I mean, somebody's going to hear this and get, you know, enlightened. So stay on, Sheena, but I'm going to close us out, because you know that's what we got to do to be politically correct. All right, stay on, my girl. All right, till next time, y'all. I'm Miss Marjan. I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. But hey, till next time, remember what? Sheena, say it with me. Respect the roots. Respect the roots.
Respect the roots.
There you go. Bye, y'all.
Michigan Liberation Education Fund, C3, conducts grassroots organizing, leadership development, and civic engagement activities. Michigan Liberation, C4, and Michigan Liberation Action Fund, IE, are sister organizations.